Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, and we're happy that you're tuning in with us because spring has sprung. We had a little dose of snow this week that kind of put a little tail on that dog. Just remember, you don't... You're not there yet, but I believe that we're on the north side of a southbound winter. So we're good. We're good. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And we're back into cooler weather after getting that tease.
Yeah.
The Great Lakes tease, the spring tease we always get, where you pack all your sweaters and your boots and all that stuff away.
Right.
And then what the biggest mistake is, let's say you're going to go away for the weekend. And what we all like to do is go up north.
Right.
Yeah, don't fall for that one.
Right. It gets colder by the mile.
Snow up there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so by the mile. I had taken the opportunity to, when I built my house, we had all kinds of dogwoods out there. And I didn't know what they were back, you know, in 89 when I was cutting trees
down.
Those
flowering ones that are really cool for about 3 weeks in the spring.
Yeah, so in September when I'm cutting all my trees to start building, they were not easily identifiable, but we did have a nice little pocket of them saved. And a couple of years back, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, Alex found my military machete, which he fell in love with. And he went around whacking every tree he could find just because boys like to do that, right?
Sure, right.
Well, he found about every dogwood we had.
They're smaller, right? Yeah, easier to machetize.
So we have
right,
one left. So I've been practicing grafting off this every spring.
How's that
so
going for you?
So far, unsuccessfully. But
right.
So I attempted to cut the buds off again this spring. I just went out a few days ago, clipped them back about 7 or 8 inches, stick a rod in the ground, put them in all the way in the ground until just the bud sticks up. Well, the other night, Maureen's says it's snowing, so I went and got a bunch of buckets and I put them all over all those little buds I had sticking up, and we're gonna see this year. I'm bound determined to have some organic dogwood.
You know, I was gonna say they got them in pots in the store and they're like 12 bucks.
No,
right?
No, not for dogwoods.
Oh yeah,
they're pricey.
Are they?
So they are
15.
They are.
And you can get little saplings that are already, we got roots on them. And yeah, I can see where Alex got this whole machete, cut it up and see what I can do with it.
This isn't
on.
About me. It's about dogwood.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about dogs because Jop's got a new pup on the way.
Oh, no.
Yes, I do. We went down the rescue route, but I've got a half golden retriever, half English pointer. So we've got hopefully a good all-around family dog that might have a little bit of hunting instinct.
But so what is it?
It is half English pointer and half golden retriever.
Is a pointer the black and white?
That Irish setter? My German short hair Gibby?
Right.
They look a lot alike. They're just a little bit leaner and a little bit shorter.
But they have short hair.
Yes, yeah. And of course, a golden retriever has long hair, so we're waiting to see. But it's kind of butterscotch color like a golden retriever would, but got white racing stripes and
shorter
stuff.
Hair.
Who
knows?
Well, yet to see, right?
Who knows,
it's 8 weeks old.
Oh my god!
So we got it in a rescue organization.
That great puppy breath.
Yeah, haven't got it yet. It's coming in Tuesday.
Oh.
It's flying in Tuesday. Get this: there's this rescue organization called PointerRescue.org. Okay, super organized, and it's a network of these rescue people all over the country. And they have a website, so you can go on. And we had to apply, and then they came to our house.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They interviewed us.
Oh, yeah.
And then we paid the fee, which is a reasonable fee to adopt a dog. But they've got pilots that work for them. The dog is on the Wisconsin-Minnesota border. They're flying me the dog, and I didn't have to pay to fly it. It's a volunteer pilot that needs hours, right, to keep his pilot license up. He's bringing two of them to Grand Rapids. Andrew Smith, Chef Drew.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's getting another one. He's getting the sibling. I'm getting a female. He's getting a male. The same litter.
Oh my
so it's going to be kind of fun. So But anyway, yeah, so pretty excited. Her name's Lucy. And so we're going to have little Lucy running around, you know.
Oh my
gosh. I can come home every night and go, Lucy, I'm home. And we'll see how that goes.
Oh, Lucy. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, that's the most exciting thing in my life today.
Well,
is that we got a new baby in the house coming on Tuesday.
The exciting thing in my life today is I'm going to go see Robin Trower tonight.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm going down with a bunch of buds.
He's like in his 70s now.
Probably.
Right?
Probably.
Didn't they say he's the white Jimi Hendrix?
I always said that. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever heard too many other people say
right.
it.
Right, but I mean,
it's probably where you heard it.
But he's a phenomenal guitar player. Right?
Oh.
I mean, unbelievable.
In the 70s, my buddy that's going with me, and I got some other buds going, but this one guy in particular, Kevin Ricker, him and his brother Keith and I, the three of us were band guys, and we absolutely adored Trower. We sang it on the way to school every day, along with Foghat. Which was in my 8-track, so it's going to be cool.
There's a song there somewhere.
Well, you know what? It's the time it was, and 8-tracks were the bomb.
Right.
So I'm going to do that. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And,
yeah.
I don't know. I saw him, I think, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. He's got a new singer.
Well, he said he was inspired by Jimi Hendrix, and I think he's been dead over 35 years. You know, so this guy's been playing for his whole life based on as a young man that was inspired by just an amazing guitar player.
Yeah, and his style, I would say, is kind of reminiscent of Hendrix.
Yep.
In terms of that era, that I don't know. I don't know enough about guitars.
Well, you're gonna figure it out, right?
I won't. I won't figure it out, but I'll appreciate it. It's
right.
Gonna be great.
Right.
Wanted to just touch on something that you probably don't care much about because you were whining about the artichokes earlier. But I actually did that recipe we did last weekend. I did it right after when I got home, and I posted the pictures of the artichoke when I got done. I photographed the whole thing. And what's really cool about that vegetable, other than the fact that it's just weird looking and unique if you want to serve somebody that has something to do cool vegetables anyway, is you grab these leaves and you just chew on the end of it, and there's some meat on there. But then when you get done, what you have is the artichoke hearts.
This sounds reminiscent of tofu to me. I might put this in the archive and dig it out at the same time you dig out tofu. Right?
I love marinated hearts, really. Artichoke hearts.
Well, yeah, because somebody else made them different than the way you're making them.
No.
I'm not
you
being critical because I didn't try it.
You buy them in a jar. You buy them in a jar.
Right. And aren't they ready to eat there?
Yeah.
Wait, you're buying a raw one and cooking it, grilling it, boiling
it's
it.
It's the process, dude.
Yeah, doing all kinds of stuff
to it.
It's the
process.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have this cool vegetable. You do 4-6 of them. You make up this lemon garlic butter, which is phenomenal.
You could put that on
so
almost
good.
Anything, and
so
it'd
good.
Be
and
phenomenal,
just,
though, is where my point is.
Then you just
right.
dip
I bet
the
I could put that on tofu.
You could.
And it'd make tofu
you
taste
could.
Better,
you
right?
Could, you could up your tofu game.
Right.
Because it's pretty saggy so far.
Yes, I get it. I get it. So is this artichoke,
so
man.
So if you want to hear, sounds like Dozma here.
Yeah.
Okie dokie artichokes, this thing. So if you're wondering about the tofu, when Jop first started coming on the show.
You can't defend
one
me.
Of the first things he mentioned, and I think he did it in front of either Michael Gray or Kevin Matthews or somebody, but he said, and you can do tofu on the grill. And I'm pretty sure it was Michael Gray lit you up.
Right. Well, and we had just been, now, in my defense, we had been down to Fen Valley Winery, and a guy grilled it in front of us. And we both ate it, and we both liked it. And
no,
that's where
actually,
that came from.
No, actually, your memory is pretty faulty. That happened about 2 years later, and
right.
we both realized that tofu wasn't horrible. The guy from India you're talking
right,
about?
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
No, at this point, I had never tried grilled tofu.
Your Honor, his recollection is not completely correct.
You can ask my wife. I'm always right.
Yeah. Well, speaking about being right, it's the springtime, and it's time for some spring beers, and we have the
How
baritone.
Is that right?
We had the baritone of beer with us, man. It's Chaz from Schmoe's, and he'll be with us, and we're going to try 3 flavors of Schmoe's beer. Stick with us. We'll be back. Take her home, her days, he is God to stay.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios here in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. And we just had a little chatter about a lot of things, including tofu and artichokes. So if you're just tuning in, you didn't miss much. But anyway, right now we have our friend and longtime sponsor from Schmoe's Brewery, Chaz Thompson, the Baritone of Beer, joining us. Welcome, Chaz.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, man. Thanks for making time for us because it's spring and you've got some new brews, man.
Yeah, we decided to do some features in the tap room this year and kind of do some experimentals, see if they work, see how far we're going to take them in the market. So the first one we popped out here, and I've already poured it for you guys, Blood Orange Pale Ale.
Okay.
So we took our Michigan Pale Ale and put a little Blood Orange twist on it just to see how that works out.
Oh, it works for me.
Yeah, it works very really good nice. For me. And go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was just going to say, I saw your posting of this a couple weeks ago, and I said, wow, that sounds fantastic, because I've had a couple of Blood Orange IPAs that I really liked, and I'm just curious what it would take to move this to an IPA.
We'd have to, you know, change the base beer on it. Really, and then we're going to have to...
How would that be?
Well, we're going to need... It's a pale ale now, right?
Yeah, we're going to need a little bit more malt characteristic in there to support the hops.
Okay.
You know, we're not one of those breweries that goes severely off in a direction with the hops. Mm-hmm. We like to balance our beers up. I like to say so you can have more than one pint.
Right.
This one-and-done trend is no good to me.
Right.
I need to sell a little more beer like that, keep the doors open. Mm-hmm. So we like to make beers that are very drinkable, not that are going to blow your head off on the first one and make you say, whoa, I got to drive home, or, oh,
sort
yeah,
of the, sort the of the theory that Keweenaw Brewing does, where all their beers are low ABV.
So what is this
you're
one?
You're not all low.
Right. No, we run the gambit. Now, my friends at KBC, they're also dealing with predominantly college students.
Right.
I call it the training ground.
Right, yeah.
Because I went to that university.
Right.
So we go with this one right in that 4.75 range.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really nice.
It's very sessionable. You can enjoy this while you're doing two or three things around the house. You can swing by the brewery, get a growler of it.
So that's a legitimate session beer.
Yeah, anything under five, I really believe with that. Right. You know, knocking on that door of five. So West those, Michigan, we say maybe 5.5.
So those who maybe don't know the lingo, explain session ale.
Well, session ale started out in England where the guys wanted to drink, but they wanted to drink all afternoon because they enjoyed the conversation, the camaraderie.
So it's a drinking session.
Yes. So you want to be able to spend some time with your friends enjoying a beverage, but not get all messed up.
Right.
You want to experience the time, the camaraderie. I mean, what pubs were meant to be.
Right.
Whether you're talking with your neighbors about the politics, farming, their backyard construction projects, their new dog, whatever it is.
Right.
You want to spend some time with the guys. So
you
need a beer. Yeah, you need some beer that is not going to throw you overboard on this.
Sure enough. And this is it. Now, this is a it's not a Belgian style. It's a pale.
This is
right?
an American pale.
I'm looking through it. Right, and it's got a nice. It does have an orange tint to it.
Yeah.
So when you say this is just probably taking a deep dive, but blood orange. How do you get the blood orange into the beer? Is it the physical fruit, or is it an extract, or what's that look like?
Well, the physical fruit would prove very logistically troublesome. So we get juice extracts.
Okay.
And those are the way to integrate into a beverage because otherwise you've got a big mess of juice in it. What do you do with all the rinds, the extra effort and stuff? And then it becomes cost prohibitive. And you don't want to spend the money to do these things, or I'm going to have to charge way more money than our typical West Michigan consumer wants to spend.
Right. So this is a very drinkable session beer that I could see. Is it growler only, right? You've made this to just give it a run in the tap room.
Pints and
growlers.
Not
going to see
right
this
now.
on the shelf right now.
It won't be on the shelf, but we may see it out in some local restaurants. We're talking to a couple of people about it. But
nice.
I got to tell
you. Just in the keg.
I got to tell you, if you haven't been to Schmoe's yet, after all these years of us begging you to do that, you now have a spring reason to get right over there. Now, if I was serving this, I would probably want to throw a half a slice of orange in there just to really dial it up. And to complement it a little bit, like I do when I'm doing an Oberon. And I like that acidic sweetness that it adds. But this would be a wonderful pool time beer.
I'll tell you, I did some the other night. A little quick chicken breast. I used some of that tangerine olive oil from Old World. Man, did that just boom, boom, blew your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. Just a little rice on the side.
You did this as you drank it, or did you use that as a marinade?
I put this in the glass and I drink this.
Right, yeah. Yeah, dumb question, Job.
Do some
Sorry.
Grilling over there.
Yeah, right. Put the oil on the chicken and put this in the glass.
You ever marinate in beer?
Occasionally, but you know, a lot of times it draws out too much acidity.
Okay.
And it imparts way too much acidity into your meat. If you've got a meat that's really tough and you need to break it down a little bit, you can use some in a marinade, but I wouldn't go straight. And definitely nothing with a big IPA or something like that. It's just going to funk it up a little bit.
Right. And
but next to it, oh my.
Yeah.
So you could dry hop this at the end if you wanted to spike it up a little bit too, couldn't you?
You could, but you're going to get lost in the
hoppiness.
Orange. The hoppiness would have to be so strong that it would get the orange would lose.
I see.
You know, it's a very calculating game to balance these things up together.
Right.
And
it's the beer engineering.
And that's something out there.
And that's the problem with a lot of microbreweries had 10 years ago when they were trying to have their version of the IPA. I remember going down to the Bob 10 or 15 years ago and they had an India Pale Ale. Oh my gosh, it had such a bite to it because it was just so much hop that they weren't bringing in the malt to balance it out. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're talking with Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery right now. And this weekend is all things under the spring moon, and we're enjoying a little blood orange under this spring moon.
Blood orange pale ale available right now only at the Grand Rapids location.
Mm-hmm. So a blood orange, what is that? I mean, obviously it's a fruit, but do you go buy those at the store? I guess I don't understand the difference between a navel orange and the blood orange, maybe fuzz?
Well, if you call the orange farmers, there's a lot of oranges.
Okay.
Different oranges and stuff. And this one, when you cut a blood orange open, it has just a vibrant, vibrant, bloody red.
It is very red.
And
it looks more like a grapefruit.
Yeah, it looks like a Texas grapefruit, but it doesn't really have that much juice. You've got to really squeeze these things to get a lot out of them. They're really, really kind of a dense fruit.
So what are we trying now?
Well, we're going to try it at the next. Let's do that one in the next segment because I want to give it its justice because I've never had a Seabreeze beer, right? And Seabreeze beer is something that Chaz is going to dive into a little bit in the next segment if we can. But with the blood orange, it's a it's something that I think that this is a very drinkable beer for the person that is just maybe on the front edge of their microbrew.
Well, you know, and the great thing about, you know, our draft only products, you get them in a growler. Growlers, too many people don't understand about the growler. That's a bottle that you buy and you get to bring it back. So it's the greenest solution out there in beer.
Sure.
Because you rinse it out. I even put the directions on the back of the bottle.
On how to clean them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, coming up next, Chaz, can you stay with us for another segment?
I can have.
All right. We're gonna dive into this Seabreeze because Bob's anxious. He's got one in his hand, and we're going to give it a try. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Satisfaction's been our name since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. Great to have them on board now. We appreciate all their support, and we're going to be bringing a lot of information to you throughout the summer and little tidbits about different projects around your house. And our friends at Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchens are going to bring the experts to a radio near you. But want to talk a little bit. Chaz, you're still with us from Schmoes Brewery. Want to talk a little bit about this Seabreeze beer. Never had anything like this. Tell us about it a little
bit. Seabreeze was something that got introduced to me back in the days when we were out salmon fishing.
Sure.
I mean, I had buddies that had salmon boats all over the place. And mid-morning when you hit that lull, how about a Seabreeze, the captain would say. And it was just light and refreshing and vibrant.
Right.
And so we carried that over into a beer as another draft-only representation, something right. Fun and springy. It's got the cranberry, it's got the grapefruit, it's got a little creamy background of that and stuff. and it's just light and refreshing.
Yep. Pretty clear. It's got a golden color to it. I would say that this is probably a low ABV beer as well.
Yeah, we're down there in the below 5.
Right.
So it's
another session ale.
Yeah, it's friendly. You can enjoy this out on the deck. You know, even if you're out and about, take a growler to the park, man. If you're going to use, you know, those family reunions when you got to use the county grill.
Yeah.
And you want to remember to bring your own brush.
Yeah.
You never know what's been on that grill.
Right, yeah, exactly. Can't get it hot enough to kill the stuff you think's there. Yeah.
But it's just a great little fun springy beer. I mean, we're walking through the woods pretty soon looking for morels. We're going to be seeing the little wildflowers starting to pop up. It's one of my favorite times to go
you
down.
Do you think anybody's getting morels yet?
Not yet.
I don't think yet.
A little early.
Maybe
little
down early. South of Kalamazoo.
Okay.
But up here in our latitude north.
Not yet.
I mean, we saw snow this week, and that's going to slow them up a little bit.
Right.
Now, what kind of – to look, take a little segue here. I'm really interested in mushrooms, and I don't know anything about them.
Except you like them.
I do.
Yeah.
I do, but I've never picked them. I've always been kind of paranoid about picking the wrong ones. So what type of – I live in the woods.
Yeah.
What type of trees do you need to have morels around?
Dead ones. Right. Really, there's a lot of different trees that they can get around. It's where the spores get. Oaks are going to have it because you've got decaying wood. You probably have, well, you've got cottonwood because that's like a virus in everybody's woods.
No, nope, I don't.
And
I don't
there's
have any cottonwood.
No, but there's
no dogwood either.
There's going to be some decaying matter around, and that's going to help. A lot of times, if there was a burn, if you burn leaves and stuff where the ash is and stuff, that's a good stimulant for those mushrooms.
So, like, if I've been dumping ash in a certain area from my wood boiler.
No, nope.
That be an area?
It's going to be a little too concentrated.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be a little too. My dad taught me that if you could find a standing dead tree, that was a great place to start with these. And if it was a popple tree,
I know,
even better.
Spot. Okay,
right. And but it's one of those things, like Chaz says, it's the spores, and it's from the decaying wood that it hits the ground. And I've got a couple buddies that are real avid mushroom hunters, and when they go out and they pick mushrooms, they always have a net bag because they want the spores, which are itty-bitty little...
To fall out when
they're walking because they feel like they're you know, it's Johnny Appleseed kind of stuff.
You know who's really good at mushrooms is Brad Ensing from Garrett.
Yep, right.
He posts all sorts of... He has crazy ones. Stuff I've seen in the woods before, and I just figured it's just some...
You know, you've got not only the morels, you've got the chanterelles that grow on the side of decaying logs. You've got
that's
puff balls that are out there. If you can understand which puff ball's right, sauteed up, man, they are a dream. The chanterelles, I mean, just a little bit of flavored oil with those.
They were really popular in the 60s, weren't they, the chanterelles?
Yeah, thanks.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
Anyway. There's a lot of things that you can get out there, and they're great sides to your grilling.
Oh, yeah. Real big, strong, earthy flavors go super with a steak. But,
so,
Bob, let's talk a little bit about pairing this sea breeze with some pork, because I see that. I'm just the first taste of that. It's like, wow, that would be really – you got a little bit of fruity, a little bit of acidic.
I think the blood orange is a better pair for what I just gave Chaz from Old World Olive Company. Cranberry, raspberry, blood orange spread. So that's kind of perfect, and that's what I'm doing tonight on my grill.
With some pork?
My best girl is on a weekend getaway. I know you find that hard to believe.
Bob's got a green card.
I know you find that hard to believe.
What are we doing, Bob?
Yeah.
Hey,
we got to move that party up from July.
Well,
right?
Maggie and Olivia went down to Tennessee to take care of the grandbabies, and of course, Maureen wasn't about to let him ride alone.
Oh, sure.
So,
sure.
Like 2 hours before they were supposed to leave, she goes, I'm going with him.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're self-employed. Go for it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I have this beautiful, I bought a beautiful loin at Sobeys. It's a center cut half loin.
Uh-huh.
And
about the size of a softball, one of those.
Yeah,
right?
It's big. Yep. It's a pork loin. And so I'm going to be butterflying that and rolling it out. And I'm putting in the center of that spinach, and I think Swiss cheese. And then I'm glazing the outside with this stuff I just gave Chaz here. It's called the Gracious Gourmet. Old World Olive Company sells it. and I had two jars of it, so I thought I'd bring one in so I could remember the name of it and give it to Chaz because he's a heck of a chef himself. Brewers always are.
Right. Well, brewing is, you know, a form of making bread.
Yeah, it's
right.
Cooking.
And Joppy, we don't get to our size without being good cooks.
That's right, yeah. You, if you're not full-figured, you're not grilling, right?
Well,
yeah.
You should be a good brewer then.
Right. I know some good brewers.
That's almost better.
Right?
I learned that the easy way.
Yeah.
So this cranberry raspberry blood orange spread is going on the outside of that. And I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I'm going to give it like the first 45 minutes with just smoke and just some seasoning, like maybe some adobo or something like that. A citric blend.
It's a little salty. Yep.
A little citrus blend. And I think I'm going to finish it off with this the last 45 minutes because I'm thinking it's going to take about an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to have that to be overpowering.
What kind of internal are you running for?
145.
145, standard book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And with all the stuff I'm putting in the center of this thing, it's going to slow it down a little bit.
Right.
I'm going to truss it. And I'll put some pictures on the Facebook page and on the website tonight when I post the recipe. But I'm anxious.
It occurs to me, Bob, that if all those people are in Tennessee, that's a hell of a lot of meat for one guy to eat.
It is.
Yeah.
Can you get a pass?
I might have to apply. Yeah, I might have to apply for a pass.
We're serving at about 4 o'clock.
No, who's were?
Home with me.
Oh, and I thought maybe your new son-in-law,
you know,
was coming over too.
No, he's got a 4-day reserve weekend. He's going to be at Battle Creek tomorrow morning. Jordan and I are heading down to Battle Creek because he's talking with the Air Force and the Navy. So we're going to go down there and talk to the Air Force for a while. And actually, Christian will be down there with the Army Reserve. These bases are all joint bases.
Must be, yeah. I was going to say, you just rattled off three branches.
Yeah, they've
three
got
branches.
Everything except the Coast Guard there. Yeah. Which, I don't know.
They're coming up the river.
The SEALs spend more time in the desert. I don't know why the Coast Guard can't go to Battle Creek.
Right, yeah.
There's a river. So the other thing I wanted folks to know was you gave us a great idea that you gleaned from somebody else about a pork loin.
Yeah, Whirlman, Mike Whirlman. He has a company in West Michigan called Squirrels 2 Barbecue. Great guy. He's been a competitor. He's not so much anymore, but he makes this pork loin that I've eaten at many events, right? He's a caterer now.
Right.
He spends a lot of his time catering. And he's got a couple seasoning. One is a sweeter barbecue, and one's got a little bit of heat to it that's called gunpowder. And the two of those he puts on, and he puts a pretty liberal rub on the outside of one of the same pork loins that you're talking about, that center-cut loin. And then he cooks that thing to—
Light smoke.
Light smoke, real light smoke. But his key is that at 163, not 5, not 2, 163, which is the importance of a thermometer, he pulls that off and he wraps it, and it really creates a lot of moisture inside because it's steaming itself, right? So just try that technique. Just wrap that thing when you get it up there to the temperature that you need to be.
I'll be doing that this afternoon.
Right. Coming up next, you want to stuff a tomato or smoke one? Let me know. We'll be back.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
This is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are Better Made.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And according to my show plan here, Bob, we're talking about either stewing, smoking, stuffing, or grilling a tomato. I mean, can you do all that? You could throw them too, I suppose. We could get in a little fight if you want to do that.
You know, it's supposed to be all things under the spring moon, and tomatoes wouldn't necessarily be something.
They're kind of a fall moon.
Yeah, but yeah. Thanks to Mexico, we have lots of tomatoes this time of year.
And I understand they're still shipping avocados up here, too.
They are.
So,
they are.
Yeah, right.
For
we're all good.
For the time being.
Cinco
right.
de Mayo is saved.
Right.
For
the time
yes.
being.
Yes.
Although, boy, that's a conversation in itself.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to light that
something
fuse.
Something has to be done about
show.
That.
Right.
Something
yeah.
has to be done about that.
That's exactly right.
I can't
right.
stand 100,000 people a month. That ain't right.
Right.
No. Not when you got people from Europe waiting in line for 5 years.
So what are you going to do with these tomatoes?
Not going to sell them to illegals. So
they might bring a backpack of their own. You never
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they've got in their backpacks.
Okay.
Stuffed tomatoes. This is something I saw on one of these internet ads. It kept bannering me. And I just finally took a swipe at it. And as I looked at it, it reminded me of a few other tomato things we've done over the years. I'll do this first one in reverse order, smoked tomatoes, something I learned at a class down in Chicago by this awesome chef. He just basically got some nice garden tomatoes, big, fat, round ones. He sliced them in half, turned them upside down, and put—
With the cut up or down?
The cut up.
Yep.
And piled on top crumpled blue cheese, and then threw them in the smoker for about, light smoke, for about— oh, I'm going to say 40 minutes or so at maybe 300 degrees until that tomato was
starting to wilt a little bit.
Yeah, not quite cooked, but going to be soon. And then you look at the blue cheese also, and it's starting to get kind of a brown smoke coating on the outside, and you don't want it to get too dark because you don't want a ton of smoke.
Right.
You just want a certain amount. And then you do enough tomatoes so that everybody gets one, whoever you're serving.
One of those halves.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's— the first time you serve one to somebody, most people will have never had them, and you have to like blue cheese.
Right.
So you could probably do it with goat cheese, too, if you wanted, because some people—
but you got to like goats.
Some people don't like blue cheese, but they like goat cheese
right.
or feta. But the way I've
any
always
any of those
it,
creamier crumbled cheeses
yeah,
is what you're talking about.
White crumbled cheeses
right.
that don't melt. They
right.
just kind of stay crumbled. But the tomato characteristics of the tomato change— because you're kind of cooking it, you're warming it up, so you're mellowing out the acids in it, and then you're adding this smoked blue cheese to it, and
making my mouth water. That's kind of
really
a
good.
That's what? That'd be an awesome side dish.
So
what kind of temperature are you in here? 200.
I think you're probably 275.
Oh, that high. Okay.
So, so you also reduce some. I would take an 18-year balsamic from Old World, and reduce it. But you put a balsamic glaze on it right before you serve it. You put it on a little plate, and you take that balsamic glaze reduction, and you just make a nice little squiggly design on it, you know, so it hits the plate and the tomato, and you set that out there, and people feel like they're at a fine restaurant.
Yeah, reduction's easy to do, guys. Straight up balsamic vinegar, you're putting it in a fry pan, and you're putting up pretty good heat because you want it to boil off.
Right.
Right. But get it syrupy. Don't get it tacky. But get it syrupy,
yeah.
so it still rolls around the pan a little bit. If it gels, you went too far.
Yeah.
Okay, so what it does is it concentrates those flavors, and it makes it a little bit sweeter. Some of the vinegar
it does.
In
it,
there
it,
burns
it
off a little
it mellows
bit.
It right out.
Right, really nice accompaniment on top of that.
And if you don't want to use an expensive something like that 18-year, which is kind of hard to boil down. It's so good. Rachel Ray sells a beautiful reduction for about $6 a bottle.
Reduced.
You have it
store,
all done.
Right. Yeah.
And then you can just keep it bottled up and you just pull it out when you need to. It's honestly, for $6.95, it's a I love Rachel. She's just awesome.
Yeah.
Little she's cutie, too.
Happy little cooker girl.
So, she's got fun dogs, too.
Yeah, she does.
So great.
Yeah.
So the other thing is stuffed tomatoes, since I'm on a tomato roll. This was one I've seen. I saw like a Facebook ad or somebody, Delish or somebody, I think, was pushing it. So it got me to looking at everybody else's versions. There's a ton of people and ways to do a stuffed tomato. But the long and the short of it is this one is using a couple cups of cooked brown rice, which I've switched over to largely just because it's a little healthier. And 6 vine-ripened tomatoes, a half pound of Italian sausage, some Tuscan EVO, some pesto, Parmesan, fresh basil, sea salt, fresh garlic, cloves, and black pepper.
Throw that up on the grilling guys, right?
I'm going to after I get some pictures. But basically, you cut the top off the tomatoes. You scoop out most of the inside, leaving a nice thick layer around it. So you want some big tomatoes.
Tomato meat. Right?
Yeah.
You're getting the seeds and the gelatinous stuff that supports the seeds out of there, and you got a cup, basically.
So you still have a nice thick cup there. And then you stuff this stuff in there. And you're gonna brown up the sausage, mix it in with the rice and everything. You're gonna throw that in the tomatoes, and you're gonna smoke them for about 60 minutes on a real low temp. The recipe calls
for the sausage and stuff is cooked already?
You're going to already skillet that.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Everything else, I was just looking in there. I want to make sure that we made that note.
Now, the recipe I found called for turkey sausage.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Well,
it's you need a lot of herbs to make that taste good.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. And it's like, you ever do turkey bacon?
No.
No.
It tastes good, but it's impossible to cook. You have to have like a nonstick pan, and then you got to oil it up. Because the minute you put it on something, it sticks to it.
I have two words for that.
You can't pull it.
I have two words for that.
Tofu.
Why bother?
It's like tofu, you know? It's you can do it. Doesn't mean you should.
Right. There you are. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Come on, man.
Why would you not just put bacon? So let me take that down the road. Your stuffed or smoked tomato, put a little X of 2 bacon slices on top of that. And when you cut into that tomato to take a bite, make sure there's a crunchy little bite of bacon right on the top of it.
So if you wanted to use turkey bacon, there'd be a good use for it because you wouldn't have to fry it.
A good use for turkey bacon is let your neighbor cook that stuff, and you cook the good stuff, right?
Yeah.
And that's just a rule. It's time for man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man!
This man law has been manipulated, of course, because I can't leave anything alone. And I customized it. When I saw it, I thought of you, Jop. You and your short shorts.
Right.
So here it is. Short shorts have been banned unless required when participating in team activity. Here's your part. No popping collar.
But yet cargo pants and shorts.
And that's my part.
Will always be legal.
Yes,
right?
cargo shorts.
So to clarify. Because
I catch a lot of garbage from the women of my family about cargo shorts. And I just went in a men's clothing store, a hip place, and they got all kinds
RJ?
Of these cargo shorts for young guys.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, why are the women in my house busting my chops about cargo shorts?
Because you're not a young guy.
No, they say no. Cargo shorts are out. You can't wear them anymore. It's like, I don't know. I saw like 5 mannequins right in the front of the mall with them on. So I'm not giving them up. I love them.
But
I can put my wallet in it, my phone in the other side.
To clarify on this short short thing, if Jop wears his softball jersey, it's okay.
Right.
That's called a skirt.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, that's the way to get away with the short shorts.
Right.
Wear your team jersey.
I don't believe I have any. But if I do, I'll make sure I bring him out the next time I come to your house. And we'll have the judge and jury there, right? But
well, if anyway. I was going to be home tonight, I'd invite you over. But I will be listening to Bridge of Sighs.
Right, I understand. But wait, now who's eating all that pork loin that you're cooking?
Oh, we're eating at 4.
Oh,
you're
well.
Welcome to come then.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
You got an extra ticket? Oh, no, I didn't hear that part.
I can get one.
Can you?
Yeah.
Well, they're for sale, right?
StubHub,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Has he reached that age where you eat at 4?
Right.
No, we got to leave at 5.
Blue lights freaking going off, the whole deal at his house.
We gotta leave at 5 o'clock. This is
tightly
scripted. I got 12 guys coming together, man. This is military precision.
Coming up next, we're going to go easy on the asparagus. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale. Or find us on the web at StandaleLumber.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. We appreciate their support. Bob, spring, we've been talking about some cool stuff. We hit the mushrooms and stuff. Some spring beers from our friend Chaz at Schmoe's Brewery. And now we're going to talk about one of my very favorite vegetables of all time is asparagus.
Isn't it crazy?
And I hated it when
Isn't
I was a
it
kid.
Crazy? Yeah.
I hated it when
you
I was a kid.
You know why you hated it when you were a kid?
I don't think my mom prepared it like I do.
Right.
Okay. And I bless her heart.
She cooked the hell out of it.
Right. Yeah. And to me, that's the wrong thing
to
do.
So it was like green mush. It looked like baby poop.
Right. Yeah. Right. Creamed asparagus, not so much. Little,
well, and nobody grilled it back then.
Right.
I mean, I don't think it, I mean, somebody must have, but it, like, in our house, that wasn't a thing.
Right. So when you go to the store to buy asparagus, I buy the smallest diameter ones I can find. And I grill them for like a minute, right? I just want to put those things on there and heat them up and get it. So if I grab the end, it falls down, right? I still like a little bit
just
of crunch.
A little
in them.
Bit of droop.
Right, a little bit of droop.
Everybody has a process.
Those
if you
big
grill
woody
them.
Ones, those big woody yeah. ones that are as big
not
as your little
as
finger,
good.
Not nearly as good.
Yeah, if you see the early cuts, and it's about that time of year when the asparagus in Michigan is going to be going up for sale. And I'll probably can 50
go.
Or 60 quarts of it this year.
Right. And you're doing the whole sprig and you're pickling it and
yep.
making some of it hot,
yep.
some of it not. Yeah.
Nah, I do it all the same just because making up the brine's a bit of a chore. And it's, you know, I like them a certain way. I just do them all the same way. And when they're done after about 2 months in the jar, they're so good. My mouth's watering thinking
yeah.
about them. That they're great in a Bloody Mary, but they're just really healthy to eat, and my son-in-law Christian loves anything pickled. He came over, him and Maggie came over last year, and I taught them how to can them, and he went nuts. He ate all of his within 2 months, and now he's finishing off
man,
my
that
reserve.
Guy's pee stunk for months, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care.
I don't know why that is, but it doesn't matter, but it's
and
just
everybody
an
has
observation.
To talk about it.
So
right?
what's your seasoning on the grill?
You know what? I cook for Michelle and I. And I like things a lot spicier than she does. So, and she really enjoys asparagus. So what I usually do, super stinking simple, is a zesty Italian dressing.
Cheap.
Cheapest one you can find. put it in a Ziploc bag, leave it in there.
It's so good.
And I'm not sure I'm marinating asparagus. I'm really not. But you get it on there, and it's an oil-based dressing.
I think it soaks up
a bit. And it allows it to brown, too. I mean, you throw it on the grill, and you get some nice grill marks on it because there's a little bit of oil base in there, and you get a sizzle. But that's it. I mean, I've done a lot of different things with the blue cheeses and creamier dressings and things, but my go-to is that zesty Italian. Just soak it in there for an hour and then hot grill.
I'll throw
roll them a couple times after I get them on.
I'll throw a little bit of that either garlic salt or that bologna seasoning or something on it.
Right.
But I'm also going to use whatever leftover dressing I've got in the fridge, or I'm just going to get some of Old World Olives Company's product out and use maybe the garlic EVO, which I drink by the gallon.
Right, I get it.
and throw one of the balsamics on it. I'm really fond of the grapefruit. So the grapefruit and garlic is fantastic.
Right.
But then I'm going to throw that bologna spice on there. And it's really important to know the direction of your grates, because you're going to want to roll them maybe. But anymore, I don't even worry about rolling them. I'll be doing chicken or burgers or steak or sausage or something like that, and I'm going to throw them on at the very end, and I'm going to put those things on. I'm going to shut my grill off and leave the lid down for 5 minutes, and just that residual, they're done.
Perfect.
I don't have to worry about turning them, because I used to, try and roll each one.
Yeah, right.
I don't have time.
Yeah,
I don't have the patience.
Just let them cook. Chaz, thanks for joining us today on The Grilling Guys. John T. Pilsner, one of your regulars that we can find in any store, right?
Yeah,
this is our go-to. This is your horse, right?
This is one of the great ones when you're doing that light and fresh stuff, early summer, baseball, whatever.
Right.
Check Pilsner.
People want to come to the tap room and try this Blood Orange and your Sea Breeze. Where you at?
We're at 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, but we also have the second location up in Petoskey at 109 West Mitchell.
Nice. And these are available at Siciliano's, one of our longtime sponsors.
Right.
Siciliano's Market. You can get this. And
Say hi to Katie.
Along with another 1,000 different beers. Greatest beer store in West Michigan.
All right. You've been listening to Grilling, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk with you next week.